Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Now, Billy Wilson has reflected widely and deeply on this fatherless generation of children. As a pastor and media commentator, he's done the statistics. And probably most importantly, his perspective is also born out of his own personal, painful experience growing up without a dad. His story also has a very interesting and rare twist. And as I said before, we'd also be keen, if you're up to it, to hear your story. The consequences of a dad leaving the family. Maybe you're the wife left behind. What was it like if you were the child? How did it play out? What were the consequences? Maybe you're the dad who left. This is a very significant dynamic, as you've already heard, in our world. And we'd love to hear your story on 1300 40 2020. So to Billy Wilson now. He's written a book called Father Cry, Healing Your Heart and the Hearts of Those You Love. Billy, welcome to Open House.
Thank you, Lee. Great to be with you today.
It's great to have you with us on such an issue. Billy, before we get to your own very powerful personal experience, you've also done a good deal of work delving into the statistics of this very modern dynamic. What have you found?
Well, especially in the United States, Lee, fatherlessness is indeed an epidemic. In fact, David Blankenhorn of American Values in New York City said this trend of fatherlessness is the most socially consequential family trend of our generation. More than 70% of Americans agree with him. And really, for a child born since 1984 in America, more than 60% of them will spend an average of 5 years of their childhood in a single-parent home. Wow. Now, when you look at a number of the different groups in America, the African-Americans, 63% of children live without their biological father in the home, 35% of Hispanic children, 28% of white children. 24 million children in the United States live without their biological father present at this time. So it is a deepening crisis. Really, Lee, what led me to begin studying this was what I heard among Christian young people around the world and what I term in the book a cry for spiritual fathers and mothers. So I asked, where's this cry coming from? And, of course, it led me back to one of the sociological contexts for this cry is the fatherlessness that we're facing in our world.
And this is why you call it an epidemic, although that's a big call to call it such a thing.
Well, I think, you know, Lee, if you look back through history, there's never been a time quite like we're living in now in the late 20th century and 21st century where so many children are either in step family homes or broken homes or foster homes. And, you know, this trend actually is global. I know even there in Australia, the fatherlessness rates, step-family rates are very high. And so all of that affects children in a dramatic way. So we see out of that a lot of ill effects because of parental absence.
Billy, what do you say about the dynamics that have been at work in our society over this time that have delivered us to this point, to, as you call it, a fatherless generation? Simply, why is this happening, do you think?
Well, why is it happening? Great question, Lee. I think, you know, I'll tell my story in a moment of my parents who were divorced at an early age when I was five. I asked my father and mother about that. In fact, I did a television interview with them about their divorce to say what happened. And I think my dad boiled it down pretty well to say, you know, really what happened was selfishness. He said, we got selfish. We wanted our needs met. We didn't want to meet the needs of the other, and out of selfishness, divorce came. Of course, Scripture, the Bible tells us that Jesus stated, because of the hardness of your heart. So something happens internally in a person. We get selfish. We forget that our actions affect others, especially our children, in dramatic ways.
And yet selfishness has been part of the human condition from, I suppose, Adam and Eve. Are we living in a more selfish era that this dynamic is so serious, so staggering today?
Well, I think, you know, in postmodern culture, Lee, we're living in an era where we no longer see absolute truth, especially Scripture or the Bible as absolute truth. And in the vacancy of that, then if there's no absolute truth and no higher power telling us we should not divorce, then selfishness leads us down a path that leads to divorce. Now, even societies without God's word, without that are not Christian or Judeo-Christian, have understood through the ages that parents being apart from one another is not good for the children. But we live in an especially promiscuous society fueled in many ways by the media, which champions and highlights people in this condition and makes it feel normal.
And you say the range of impacts, emotionally, physically, spiritually, are staggering. That's the word you use. What kind of impacts, Billy?
Well, you know, in studying this sociologically, of course, the absence of parents affects really every negative indicator in the lives of children and teenagers, from drug abuse to premarital sex to incarceration to living below the poverty levels to detrimental effects of parental absenteeism and neglect are pretty amazing. I recently was with the leader of Prison Fellowship here in the United States, Ministry Chuck Colson led before he went home to be with the Lord. He said to me this. He said, when we deal with men in prison, there's really only one issue, and it's a father issue. 98% of the men in prison have a father issue. They're angry at their father. They did not have a father in the home. They're wounded by their father, abused by their father. But 98% of them have a father issue.
I'd love to hear what someone like you, who has looked into this in such depth, and who, as we'll hear in a moment, has had this personal experience yourself. What do you say to fathers about their approach to marriage and family and their commitment to that? What do you say to them? What's your advice to them?
Well, I think I would say a couple of things. Lee, none of us live in a vacuum. We're all affected by the generations before us, and what we do now will affect generations to come. When you look at Scripture, you see that third, fourth, fifth generations are affected by the actions of parents, either righteous action or unrighteous action. So when we become selfish, when we throw caution to the wind, when we commit a failure that wounds our family deeply, the repercussions of that will go on beyond our lifetime. And so I would encourage people not to just live for the moment, but to live for the future.
If you could personalize it and see one of those fathers before your face who are thinking, as you would put it, selfishly, who are considering bailing on a marriage and a family, what would you say to him, Billy?
I asked my dad that question, Lee, in the interview I mentioned earlier. Since he went through divorce and then was reconciled to my mom, as I'll share in a moment, he said this, don't do it. It's not worth it. The pain, the hurt, is not worth it. I've said many times, and I think most people that have gone through this would agree, that divorce is more painful than death. In death, we get closure, we have a funeral, we have a graveside, we know where the person lies. But in divorce, the pain is deeper and lasts a lifetime. It's simply not worth it.
And yet in that moment of time, contemplating walking out on a marriage, on a family, it will also seem so easy and so much of a relief from all the problems that they would imagine they're experiencing.
Sure, of course. I mean, again, our society has made it easy to get divorced and also made it look attractive at times. But again, if you track in some of our studies that we've done, if you track people out of divorce or that have gone through a divorce, most of them are not happier than they were. When they get in a second marriage, they're also not happier in that marriage than they were. So it's a mirage. It's a false concept. And God can help us have enough grace to be his servant and live beyond ourselves for others.
On Open House, we're with Billy Wilson, the author of the book Father Cry, Healing Your Heart and the Hearts of Those You Love. So, Billy, I'd love you to tell us about your own stories, very personal for you. As you've said, from the tender age of five, this happened?
Yes, Lee, my dad was a minister. I was born into a minister's home, a preacher, and he was in a supervisory role when I was at a young age. And at the age of five, walked in and told my mother and my two sisters goodbye. Immediately, we were asked to move out of the parsonage, the home the church owned. And we moved in with my mom's parents, my grandparents, all three of us children, and my mother, and began to be one of the statistics that we talk about. I grew up with a lot of pain. My mom and dad divorced, both got married again, both divorced again. By the time I was 11, 12, 13 years old, I was a very bitter young man. I was angry. I was looking for something I couldn't find. And so I tried a lot of things to satisfy my pain. Ultimately, at the age of 16, I gave my heart to Christ. Jesus came into my life, wonderfully forgave me, washed me, changed me dramatically between my junior and senior year of high school, and began to work in my heart that if I was going to love a God I could not see, I had to learn to love my dad who I could see. And so I began to realize that if God could forgive me of all of my mess, that I needed to begin to forgive my father of his mistakes and his failures. My dad was back in the ministry by this time. We began to establish a relationship. And then when I was 19, I married at a very young age to my wife, Lisa. And 2 months later, my mom reconciled with Christ, got things right with God, got in the car, drove about 12 hours, found a little place where my dad lived, knocked on the door. He came to the door and said, Joyce, I'm expecting you. And within 2 weeks, they were married again the second time. And lived together in full-time ministry for 35 years after that moment, wonderfully reconciled, having forgiven all of the wounds and scars of the past. And so I saw a literal miracle, really, in our family and in my lifetime. I think beyond that, Lee, my father began to become my cheerleader. And the love I'd missed as a child, I began to receive from him in my adulthood. And we became very close. In fact, we became best friends in many ways. And a little over 2 years ago, I was able to be at my dad's bedside when he died and saw the wonderful grace of God and realized that indeed divorce is worse than death. And also realized over the years, Lee, that so many of the young people I've ministered to around the world have this cry in their heart. And so I'm challenging the church in the book Father Cry to help meet this need, this cry within the hearts of young men and women. I'm encouraging fathers to go home and mothers to go home and take care of their family. But I'm also encouraging Christians that we can make a real substantial difference in the lives of young men and women today if we're willing to just show them love and care about them.
It is a remarkable story from the depths and also the consequences of such pain and such hurt, but also to bring about such reconciliation. If you stand back from the whole experience, it's such a simple question. How do you believe that actually happened and was able to happen, Billy?
Lee, there's no question in my mind. It was years and years of people praying for my mom and dad. After I received Christ into my heart, I had an inescapable burden for my mom. I was, day after day, I asked God to do something in her life. And finally felt that he had heard me and that he was going to answer. I told her that. I said, Mom, everything's going to be okay. And realized later on, as she would testify, those words chased her for a long time until she surrendered to God. And so there's no doubt in my mind, this kind of barrier between humans, the kind of woundedness, the kind of anger that existed between my parents, really can only be taken away through the cross of Christ. That Jesus, who was treated worse than any of us, who had more reason to be offended and angry than any of us, says from the cross, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And he gives us the power, if we trust him, to forgive others and to be reconciled through a love that is bigger than us. And I would say to any family listening today, Lee, that there is a God who has a love greater than you. And if you'll invite him into your family, he'll bring his love and help you love one another and live in peace and be reconciled.
And for the Christian community, your call to the Christian community in Father Cry, how is it practically that this community can step up to this challenge and help turn back this epidemic, as you call it?
Well, Lee, I mean, a number of things are happening around the world. We are, we've developed a local church weekend model to help bring the generations together. We're encouraging ministers around the world to adopt spiritual sons and daughters. I have several of them around the globe myself. I reach out to, I cheer on, I love, I care for. This generation has said to us they want spiritual fathers and mothers. They don't really want somebody instead of sage on the stage. They want a guide by their side. They want somebody in their life, somebody that's speaking hope to them, encouraging them, and loving them. And the Christian church has a fantastic opportunity to have a spirit of adoption that reaches out to the broken and the hurting of this generation, which are in the millions around the world, and say to them, we love you, we want to stand with you, and we want you to discover the love of a father who will never leave you, who will not forsake you, who is always there and will always be cheering you on, and that is God, our Heavenly Father.
And I also suppose to recognize what a cultural shock that is from the overriding culture, as you said, of selfishness, of self-centeredness, independence, that is so much part of our age. This is a really big difference.
Of course. And this is the gospel. Jesus... ways are not of this world. And so, again, but when you find a young person who is being loved intergenerationally from someone of another generation with a pure love and is being accepted and received and encouraged and cheered on, you'll find a young person that's able to rise above the pain of any family difficulty and be what God's called them to be and really accomplish what they should accomplish in life and get past the victimization mentality that so many have.
Billy, one thing you say in your book, Father Cry, is that we are living in a Malachi 4 moment. I'd love you to explain to our audience what you mean by that.
Lee, the last promise of the Old Testament is that the hearts of the fathers or the parents would turn to the children, and the hearts of the children would turn to the parent. This is the last word of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. Now, we know that some of that began to happen under the ministry of John the Baptist, the ministry of Jesus. But I believe, especially in the 21st century, what I'm seeing around the world is spiritual fathers, church leaders, pastors, teachers, seminary workers, university presidents, whose heart has been softened for this new generation. And I see in this new generation of young men and women a real desire to connect with the fathers and mothers and grandfathers and grandmothers of Christianity, to learn from them and know about them. It's a wonderful moment. And Malachi said, if this doesn't happen, God would curse the earth with a curse. So I believe when it does happen, we're going to see great blessings around the world.
As you look to the future, then, are you an optimist, notwithstanding the moment that we are in now?
I'm very much an optimist. I think we see in this new generation of young men and women the desire for community and the desire for family. I also, of course, as I mentioned, see older leaders more sensitized than I think we've ever been, at least in my lifetime, to the needs of new generations coming on. Many denominations have turned things upside down in their movement to be able to reach the new generation and develop new young leaders. And then I see in this new generation of young men and women a real valuing of family. Because they haven't had that, they want family. They love family. They desire family. I think one of the critical things for us is to help this new generation reestablish a faith in Scripture, in the Bible. Ultimately, God's Word speaks that God hates divorce. And that one statement has helped me many times at a point, a crisis point with my wife, who I've been married to for 34 years, or my family, to say, you know, God hates this. We're not even going to mention that word in our family. So Lisa and I have never said the word divorce in our marriage, although there have been certainly been times that she's probably felt like it and I have. We decided that because of God's command in protecting us, wanting what's best for us, we would not even bring it up. So we've got to help this generation reestablish that God himself is for marriage and for family and against the pain that comes through divorce.
Billy Wilson, I think this is an important, significant contribution to much of the world. The book is Father Cry, Healing Your Heart and the Hearts of Those You Love. We'll put the details up on our Open House Community Facebook page. Billy, thanks so much for sparing the time for us on Open House.
Thanks, Lee. God bless you guys, and always appreciate our friends down under. Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.